Hi, I'm Emily Yassarin. I'm the Graduate School Network Manager.
And I'm Tendai Bloom. I'm a lecturer in the Politics Department.
And Tendai, you're going to tell us about Session 4, Non-Citizens and Others. Could you say something about what the session's about?
Yeah, thank you. Well, when we talk about citizenship, it can be really easy to focus on the situations where citizenship relationship is working for people, or the situations that we know best in our own life. But in order to understand citizenship more fully, it's necessary to look at where it breaks down or where it doesn't fully explain what's going on or where it goes beyond the experience of those who've been developing the theory. It's worth noting some of the thinkers that will be discussed in the session. For example, there's Iris Marion Young. And already in 1989, she was observing that where there's full citizenship for everyone, that doesn't necessarily mean equality. And she reflects that there might need to be some sort of differentiated citizenship to realise inclusion and participation, to recognise different needs and wants within the citizenry. But it's not even enough to look only within the citizenry. If you look at someone like Joseph Cairns, who was writing also in the 80s about what he calls aliens and citizens, he presents citizenship as a feudal privilege. He argues that full and formal citizenship, on the one hand, and alienage on the other, is like the feudal privilege that you have in medieval societies. He looks particularly at migration, and he suggests that that discrepancy in the right to move is deeply problematic, and one that he thinks at some point in the future will look back on in shame. But in reality, it's not even enough to stop there, because there are also some people who have no citizenship of any state at all. They are stateless, and the literature on this has been sparse. But it's led, for example, Philip Cole to suggest in 2017 that perhaps it's not non-citizens or those citizens who are lacking rights that are the problem. Instead, he suggests that maybe full citizens embodied of lots of rights are the problem that we should be worried about, not least because they're the ones that dominate in political thinking. And that brings us back again to the question of citizenship.
Brilliant. Could you tell us some more about why this is important?
Yeah, well, it's common for researchers in all disciplines to test their concepts and theories at the limits. It's not enough to be able to show that a concept or a theory works in everyday scenarios or the scenarios that we're most familiar with. In order to be useful, we have to be able to test our concepts and theories under conditions other than those we had in mind when developing them. And citizenship is an important concept in our political life. And to fully understand what it means, we have to examine citizenship at its limits, where citizenship is denied or rejected, where citizenship is experienced differently by different people, and so on. But to be honest, I would add that non-citizenship is also important to study in its own right, as it's a way in which people experience the world. And as such, it's a worthwhile subject of study.
Can you give us some examples to help us understand these ideas?
Sure, we could come up with all sorts of examples. We could think of formal citizens unable to access their full citizenship rights. We could think of the inequalities that pertain because of inequalities between citizenships. We could look at all kinds of rights denials. But I think one example that would be interesting to look at here is where formal citizens have chosen to reject some of their citizenship rights, where non-citizenship is claimed, perhaps even an empowered status. So I don't know how much listeners would know about the global lacrosse competitions, but there are three dominating teams. There are the Iroquois Nationals, the Canadian National Team, and USA. In 2010, the World Championships were held in the UK, and the Iroquois Nationals went to New York to fly to compete in the championship. But when they tried to board the plane using their Haudenosaunee travel documents, that's the travel documents of the Iroquois, they were not allowed to board a plane travelling to the UK. They were told that they could travel if they used their Canadian or American citizenships, and indeed all of the team members were citizens of Canada or the United States, but they refused. They were going to play as a national team against Canada and the US, their main challenges. So in the end, after a lot of wrangling, the games were being played and they were missing them, and the Iroquois Nationals forewent the game in 2010. What's interesting about this example is that they were formal citizens They had formal citizens' rights, but they chose not to use them because they argued that the formal citizenships available to them were not representative of their political identity. So this is one example of where non-citizenship becomes an important topic to study.
And how can we apply what we learned from this session to our doctoral work?
Well, whatever your area of research, it's always a good idea to take it to the limits and to test it against cases you might not have thought about before and outside your own experience. One way to do this is to test your ideas out on as many cases and as many audiences as possible. For example, you could get feedback from other doctoral students who might be able to see your project from a different perspective or test your ideas against a case that they've come across.